morning. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles, God. Thank you for giving us this time to be together and to open your word and to read. I pray, God, that as we do, that you would speak through your word, that the words that we read from this book would be living and powerful. God, I pray that you would transform us, help us to know you more, love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's a question. Maybe it's a question you haven't asked yourself in these words. I suspect that it's something that we've thought about on one level or another. Definitely not something we would say out loud. Here's the question. Why do I feel so disconnected from what I read in the Bible? I open up this book. You ever felt that? I open up this book and I read things, and then I close it and I'm done, and life goes back to normal. It's like I'm reading something just so far removed from my actual life, where I come to church and we do stuff and I believe in that and I'm here and then I leave and I go back to my normal life. It's almost like, just go with me for a moment on this. It's almost like God stuff. So coming together and reading this book, it's almost like going into like a fantasy world. Like, I don't know. I made a list, and just off the bat, my pop culture references are really old and really geeky, so I don't know what that says about me, or maybe I do. So it would be like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, or remember the Smurfs? They had their own little world, and you watched it, and it was just a different, you were just in there. But you knew that wasn't real life. That wasn't your world, or the WWE, fake stuff that you read, and it's like really interesting, and you believe it in the moment, and then you go home, and it's something else. Have you ever felt that, honestly, on the inside? Have you ever read the Bible, and then after closing it, been like, yeah, Zephaniah lived in a different world and a different time, totally different, totally removed from my life. Have you ever come to church and then gone home and just felt like, okay, now I'm going back to my normal life? I think I even have heard that stated when I was a kid at the end of closing prayers. We're going to pray now, and then we're going to go back to our normal lives, things along those lines. It's like the things of God were one world. I open the Bible and I read about God and what he's done before, and I know in my mind it's true, but there are people who live completely different lives than me, and things happen to them that definitely don't happen to me. And I go to church and I sing and I listen, and sometimes I feel like this deep connection with God, and sometimes I feel passion, and sometimes I don't, but then that's one world, and my normal life is a whole nother world. I have responsibilities, like a real boss who will call me and ask me where that report is tomorrow, and real stuff that I have to do, and stuff I have to pay for, and stuff that things that I'm worried about, real things, not a fantasy world. It's almost like they were two different worlds, and I believe that all of this is true. I do. I believe it's true. But I don't perceive all of this in my day-to-day normal life. I see the distinction between this world and my world, my normal life. And so when I feel that way, and maybe you could see this in your life too, when I feel that way, when I know that there's a difference, there's a distinction, there's this world over here, and then there's my actual, stuff I gotta do, bills I gotta pay world, this doesn't affect me as much as it should, as much as it could. I believe it, but it doesn't truly change me. It does on one level, but I'm not focused on this world when I'm not here. I don't sacrifice myself to work for this world because this is interesting and I believe it and I want to go to heaven, but I live a different life. I asked myself this week, what would it look like in our lives? What would it look like? Would you and I live the rest of our week if this was really, really real for us, if what we just sang and the supper, and if this was real, if this was our highest reality, what would it look like? You know what it would look like, right? We would see sin coming a mile away, and we would flee from it.
we wouldn't hide it. And you know, it's satanic. It's rebellion against God. We wouldn't all have sins that we could stand up and confess today together that, yes, this week I did this again, and I thought that, and I felt this. And we wouldn't have that if we really believed in how real this is. I would be overwhelmed. I would be afflicted for the souls of other people. That would be just burned in my mind. Every time I talked to someone out, every time I said hi to somebody at Sam's or talked to the guy at work, I would be afflicted with just concern for his soul. And where is she going to spend the eternity at? Because that's eternal. I would dedicate, if I believe this was real, down to my core, I would dedicate my attention to my Father's kingdom. I wouldn't be daydreaming about that thing that I want to buy and that thing that I got to do later and that thing that my kid said this or my wife said that. I would be so focused on God's kingdom. I would be conscious. If I really believed this was real, I would be so conscious of the enemy's attacks. I would see it. I would feel it. I would know this isn't just me having a bad day. This is the enemy. If I believe this was real, I wouldn't have to be told you should read your Bible. I would have to be told you got to stop reading your Bible. Yeah, you read it too much. You pray too much. You need to actually pay some bills now because you do have to eat and live indoors. I would spend so much time with my Father. I would always be talking to him if I believed this was truly, truly real. I would focus on listening to the voice of the Spirit as I'm going through my life, as he guides me into all truth, the voice of him guiding me from inside and through this word. But that's not our reality all the time, is it? Sometimes, maybe on some level, but not completely, right? That's not the world that we live in. We tend to visit God and then go back to reality, even visit him in the morning and then go back to the rest of our day. So why is there such a difference between this world, between this, and our real life, my normal day-to-day life? There's a couple of texts that I want to read that I think will help us understand this. Two texts. In fact, today for the first time, so flip over to 1 Peter and flip over to Ephesians. I finally understand why having two markers in your Bible is not nonsense. I've never got that before. Like, why do they put two markers in some Bible? And I proudly buy Bibles that have one marker. Well, today I wish I had two. So keep your finger in 1 Peter and then Ephesians chapter 6. And we're just going to flip back and forth between them. And if you have two markers, well, consider yourself lucky. So a couple of texts that are going to help us understand the actual world that we live in better, and this felt difference, dichotomy between the spiritual world and our actual real world. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse. Wow, it is definitely a glasses day. Hang on. Verse 8, okay, starting out, he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And then flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. That's the answer. That's the answer to our question. Why do I feel a difference between this world and that world? Why is there a difference? Why does this one feel real? The stuff that I got to do, the stuff that I can touch and feel, that feels real. But then everything spiritual seems just to be like another thing that I dip into and dip out of. This is the answer to that. The spiritual world is the true world, is the real reality. It is actually what is real, and our life, our stuff, our clothes and our cars and the jobs we go to and all the stuff we do, that's just a thin veneer over the top of what is the real world. It is but a vapor. It goes by so fast. It's over soon. What is true is a spiritual world that is all around us, that we are part of, What's real is our connection with God or our lack of connection with God. That's what's real. The spiritual world is what is real. And listen, we are part of that world. Isn't that what those verses are saying? We're part of that world. That world is interconnected into our lives. And it's not that it dips into our lives, but rather our lives are part of that spiritual world. Look back at what... Okay, so think about the last time that you had problems at work, or you had a conflict with your spouse, or your parents had this thing with you. Look at what he says. Look at verse 12 in Ephesians chapter 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is the real world. That is what we are actually in. We are part of that. We interact with that world because that is the world that we are part of. We are spiritual beings. We'll live forever, and we are part of the spiritual world. And so you say, well, how do I see that spiritual world interact in my normal life, in my real life? Well, think about it. Every temptation is part of that world dipping into our world. We see that connection because it's inciting us to rebel against our Father. Every time that we have an opportunity to speak the gospel to someone, that we're around someone who doesn't know our Savior, and we could speak to them about God, or we could talk just about nonsense, that's an opportunity to guide someone else to a true spiritual, everlasting relationship with the King of the universe. All of the distractions that come up to take us away from that purpose, well, it's the same thing. It's part of the spiritual world. It's distracting us from what is most important and from what will last forever. And look back at those verses. There's something else. There's a spiritual world, but look at what he's emphasizing in both places, both of the he's, two different authors saying something surprisingly similar. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 again. In this spiritual world, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. That's what they're both saying. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, prowls around. Look at Ephesians chapter 11. You say, we're just kind of reading the same thing over and over again. We are. We're pulling parts of it out, but hopefully by just the repetition, maybe it'll help us memorize. Win-win. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We have an enemy. We have an enemy who desires to... Well, look at verse 16 in Ephesians 6. In all circumstances, he's talking about the armor of God, but look what he says about the devil. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. We have an enemy who desires to destroy us. Isn't that what Jesus says in John 10:10? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. He desires to fill our lives with pain and distractions so that we focus on anything but what is real. Our relationship with God and others' relationships with their Creator as we go through life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 again. Look at verse 8. He's seeking the enemy, your adversary, the devil, seeking someone to devour. He seeks to destroy us, to separate us from our Father, not just in this life, not just so that you don't read your Bible when you wake up in the morning and pray and start your day off connected to the Father. That's a win for him. That's a win. But even more than that, so for all of eternity, you are separated from your Father. That is what he desires. He's seeking to devour us, to attack us. And so to do that, He battles against our Father, the one who desires to reconcile us with himself, who desires to rescue us from our rebellion, to pardon our offenses, to transform us so that we become more and more like him. Satan, our enemy, actively battles against, in this spiritual world, he battles against our Father who, to save us, to reconcile us with himself, sent his Son to this world and to the cross, and to save us and to reconcile us with himself, he sends his children into the world to bring everyone else into his kingdom. And he doesn't just attack our Father. It's not some cosmic battle happening above us. It's happening around us, and we're part of it. And we are actively being attacked in so that we would be separated from our Father's, devoured eternally. Go back to where we were, 1 Peter 5:8. Look at what it says he does. He prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He attacks us. That's what he does. That's what he attacks us. Our battle isn't with flesh and blood, but there is a battle. There's a battle with those who would, well, look at verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 6. The attacks of the devil against the schemes of the devil. He schemes against us and he attacks us. How does he attack us? He attacks us through our flesh, through temptations. He attacks us through the emotions that overwhelm us and take us down dark paths. He attacks us through discouragement and cynicism. So he attacks us through worry and being so wrapped up in this life that we don't have a second to focus on what is actually important for ourselves and the people that are around us. But we're not just idle bystanders in this spiritual world and being attacked by some enemy. We're actually told to be part of it, to do something. Go back to those verses. Look at what it says. The main focus of the verses isn't what's happening to us, isn't our enemy who attacks us. We get that from those verses. That's what it tells us. But what's the main point of those verses? Both of them. It's the same thing. Be sober-minded and watchful. And then in verse 9, resist him. We have to resist our enemy. We're told to be active participants in this battle. Resist him, verse 9, firm in your faith. And then go to Ephesians chapter 11, or chapter 6, verse 11. He says the same words, that you may be able to stand against or resist the schemes of the devil. Drop down to verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. That's resist in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. We're to resist. We have an active part to play in this spiritual world, and just as active and just, not just as active, just as active, even more real than and much more important than the active part we have to play in our lives. We can't sit back with our arms folded and not work and not pay our bills and not do our stuff. We have an active part to play in that. We have just as much an active part to play in the spiritual world in which we're involved. We're supposed to resist the enemy. We're supposed to fight against him. We're supposed to advance the kingdom of our Father and combat the kingdom of darkness. And see, when we realize that, when we realize that this world is swirling all around us and we're part of this world and our lives are just a little veneer, a little bit of frosting and on top of that world, and what's really happening is that there is an enemy who is fighting to the death for our souls, to separate us from the Father, to take us, to make us rebel against him in this life and be separated against him for all of eternity. Everything changes. Everything changes in how we see life. We're able to see the serpent and the rebellion, the satanic rebellion behind every temptation. And we're able to flee from that temptation. We're able to see the demon that is behind every idol that we put up in our heart, everything that we love more than God. And we're able to break our idols down because we know that's important. My worship should be directed to him, not to these other things in my life. We're able to see how lost the people around us are who are part of the kingdom of darkness and under the control. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, extra verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We're able to see that the reality of those who are far from God, the people that we know and love that are part of our lives that God has graciously put in our lives so that we could speak the gospel to them, their reality is not that they're just other people trying to get through life. They're under the control of the evil one. They're doing the will of the one who is in rebellion against our Savior, our God, the King of the universe, and we can then dedicate our lives to rescuing them. That can become the most important thing in our lives. Even as we go about the normal stuff that we have to do, everything changes when we see the reality of the spiritual world. Now we need the Holy Spirit. We depend on Him in a way that we don't. When we're not aware of the spiritual world swirling around about us, we not only are aware of His power, we know that we need it, and we seek Him, and we say, give me strength, give me words, help me to know what to do, guide me, because we know that we need supernatural power, not just to survive, but to help other people be rescued in this spiritual world in which we all are in. So what's the application for us today? The clock is broken, so I don't know if it's too soon to get to an application, but here we are. I think there's food waiting afterwards, so even if the clock is broken, win-win. I said that phrase twice today. I heard that the second time. I won't repeat it now for a month. What should we do? We should fight against our enemy. We should resist him. We should do what it's saying in these verses. We should resist the devil. We should fight against our enemy. We should resist him. We should be sober-minded and watchful. That's what we should do. And so the question for you and I today is, okay, think about your life. How can you resist and fight against your enemy today in your life? With the life that you have, what does it look like for you to resist the devil? How do you interact with the spiritual world in your life? What does that look like? Where are the connection points for you? How is the enemy actively attacking you? And who are the people in your life that God has put there for you to rescue them from the kingdom of darkness? What does it look like for you to resist the devil? And listen, if you're not a Christian, here's what it looks like for you to resist the devil, to take a side in this spiritual war. It is to give yourself to the King of the universe, because in this moment, if you are not a Christian, you are in the kingdom of darkness. And the Father of Light invites you to join him. He opens his arms and he opens the gate to his kingdom and he says, come, give yourself to me, give yourself to Jesus, decide to follow me, to be my child by repenting, by being baptized, accept my son as your Savior and Lord. When as you do that, and as you come up out of the water, now you'll have an adversary. You'll have someone who actively will fight against you, someone you'll have to resist. The devil will not be the one who controls you. He'll be the one who fights against you, but you will also have a Savior. You'll have a Savior. The one who overcame and will overcome is now on your side, and his Spirit will fill you. So when you come to the point in your life when you say, I need that, I know I'm part of a spiritual world, and I know that I'm not on the right side of that. Give yourself to Jesus. Tell someone here you can repent. You can be baptized. And if you're a Christian, the question for you and I is this. How do I resist the devil today? How do I fight in the spiritual world? How do I live in that spiritual world? And here's what I would like to offer is it homework? Application, something to do, please do this. Write down, either in your mind, in your phone, if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, no one will laugh, whatever you have that you remember stuff with, write down Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, and read that. And as you do, ask yourself two questions, because he's going to talk about how to resist in this passage. And he talks about two things, the armor of God, which is actually not a thing. It's a whole bunch of things grouped together. So as you read, look at the armor of God. And then at the end, he lands really heavy on prayer, on resisting the enemy with prayer and fighting spiritually through prayer, through talking to our Father. So as you read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, and please do this, as you read about resisting the devil and what that looks like with the armor of God, and then with prayer, ask yourself this, how do I put on that armor? How do I put on that armor? And the second question is, how can I fight through prayer? How can I participate in the spiritual battle through prayer? Read the passage and answer those questions for yourself. And the awesome thing about this, go back to 1 Peter one more time. I want to read the whole passage, because just the first part is a bit of a downer, but it ends really, really good. When we fight against the enemy, when we resist the enemy, when we are an active part of the spiritual world of which we are part, look at what happens. Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're on the side of the King of the universe, of the King of this, not just the physical world, of the King of the spiritual world. And as we resist our enemy, he has promised we will be victorious, because he is victorious. And he will strengthen and establish and perfect us. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, thank you for today, for reminding us of the scarily seriousness of the world in which you've put us. There are demons and there are angels, and your spirit is in us. And we have a mortal enemy of our souls who will do anything to separate us from you. God, maybe we be people who don't just do God stuff once in a while, but help us live our lives every day actively engaged in resisting the enemy, in rescuing those who are perishing. May we live for your glory, God, as we go through this life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.